During the past week, the Allied forces have withdrawn from central and southern Norway, and Germany has attained all or most of her objectives there. All along, the contest has been a question of seizing and maintaining bases and lines of communications, and in this, Germany has so far been completely successful. Germany has been able to maintain her communications with Oslo, and from Oslo as her main base in Norway to establish communications with the ports on the west of Norway, which Germany had previously seized. England has been unsuccessful by the use of her navy in intercepting these communications and has now withdrawn her troops from Namsos and from Åndalsnes, where she had attempted to establish bases. In evaluating the campaign, one is impressed at once with the importance of air power and of the use by Germany of her air power in the campaign. By using her air power, she made it impossible for Allied ships to intercept the communications from Germany to Oslo and made it impossible for the Allies to maintain the bases which they had seized at Namsos and at Åndalsnes, and indeed almost completely destroyed these small towns and all the bases the Allies had attempted to establish there. Moreover, Germany has been successful in addition in destroying the communications which the Allies had attempted to establish between their coastal bases in Norway and the troops which they sent to the aid of the Norwegians. And Germany has been successful with fleets of planes preceding their motorized units in attacking the small units of the Norwegians and the Allies in central Norway and having scattered them and driven them back, so that finally there was nothing else for the Allies to do except to withdraw. However, there is one important consideration to bear in mind in this. The difficulty was not so much that the Germans had the superior number of planes as that they had all of the air bases. Norway is a great mountainous country, and except the bases already established at Trondheim, at Bergen, at Stavanger, and at Oslo, there were no suitable airports. Germany had all the suitable airports and then had an airport at Aalborg in Denmark, and of course the German main airports, whereas the Allies had none from which they could send out fighter planes and pursuit planes to meet the German bombing planes. And it was this lack of air bases, far more than the lack of the planes, that led to the defeat of the Allies. As a result of the campaign which has now been completed, Germany has obtained most of the tactical military objectives which she set out to obtain. And she probably, too, has attained the secondary strategical factors which she set out to attain. From the air base at Stavanger, she is now only about 300 miles away from the Orkneys and Scapa Flow, where is the great base for the British fleet. And she is in a position much more readily than ever heretofore to interfere with the operations of the British fleet and its bases, and of course is at least 200 miles nearer even to the great industrial centers of southern Britain. However, on the other hand, some of the secondary strategical considerations are in favor of the Allies. By reason of the fact that Norway is now in the war, Britain is in a position to prevent the entry of goods going to Germany to Norway. And Norway, of course, is not self-sustaining, and they will even have to get supplies, the Germans will, in order to maintain themselves in Norway. Moreover, while the Germans received considerable advantages in the form of bacon and meats and so forth, eggs and poultry, from their invasion of Denmark, after those are exhausted, Denmark too will have to be fed and will be affected by the blockade. And perhaps the blockade may be even more effective now that Denmark and Norway have been taken over than heretofore. However, the most important strategical consideration which led to the campaign itself and which was a prime object of the campaign is the iron ore of the mines of Kiruna and Galavea in Switzerland. Narvik is the key port for the shipment of that through the Atlantic. And during the 5 months or more when the Gulf of Bothnia is frozen each year, it's impossible for iron ore to come from those mines into Germany. And that has been intercepted not only for the present, but probably for the future. There are some 3,000 German troops in Narvik, but the British are besieging them there with the help of Chasseurs à pied and French Alpine troops, and probably many of the troops which have been withdrawn from Namsos and from Arendalsnes, Allied troops I mean, will be sent to that point. And it will be possible entirely for the Allies to establish a satisfactory base at that place, because it is itself some 300 to 400 miles north of Trondheim, which will be the nearest point that the Germans have for air bases, and is 500 miles or so from Stavanger, where the best airports in Norway are. So that undoubtedly the Germans will find that the British will ultimately take Narvik, probably in the course of this week or the next, and will maintain troops there in a position to intercept any iron ore coming from the Swedish mines by way of the seas to Germany itself, thus forcing Germany to get all of that iron ore through the Gulf of Bothnia, which is only navigable a part of the year on account of ice. Moreover, if the Allies maintain a strong force there, they will be in a position to immediately bring aid to Sweden and to reach these iron mines before the Germans could reach them in the event the Germans should undertake to violate the neutrality of Sweden itself. The iron mines of Kiruna are only about 75 miles from Narvik, and only about 110 or 15 miles of the iron mines at Galavea, so that the British and the French would be in a position to reach them sooner than the Germans could in the event the neutrality of Sweden was breached. The Allies will even be in a position to bring economic pressure on Sweden, which is now bottled up by the blockade and by the German control of Norway, not to give the Germans any more of that iron ore than possible. And even if the Allies should finally consider it important enough, they too might quickly violate the neutrality of Sweden and reach these iron mines and seize and hold them, no matter what Germany or Sweden itself might undertake to do about it. And, of course, the iron coming from these mines is of the utmost importance to Germany. She must have it in order to win the war. While she has perhaps scrap enough to last throughout this year and into the next, thereafter she must have this iron ore, or her industries and her war machine will necessarily bog down. Outside of the fighting in Norway, the most interesting development of the past week has been the mobilization of the British and French fleets in the Eastern Mediterranean, and the announcement by the British Admiralty that shipping from the Orient coming to the Allies can go round the point of Africa. Mussolini has been threatening for some time to enter the war. The newspapers in Italy have been full of his threats, and apparently the Allies have grown tired of it and are now saying to Mr. Mussolini, put up or shut up. And so there is the likelihood of developments there. At the same time, it's difficult to see how Mussolini himself and Italy can afford to get into the war. If they get into the war, they must at once fight a naval battle in the Mediterranean, or else all their lines of communications will be destroyed, because anything coming to Italy from by way of the seas must come either through the Suez Canal or the Straits of Gibraltar, which are controlled by the Allies. And then Mussolini must necessarily maintain his lines of communication with Abyssinia and with Italian Tunis, in both of which together he probably has from 500,000 to 750,000 men. So his lines of communications, they have got to be maintained, while the Allies have an alternative line of communication around the tip of Africa. Did Mussolini come in, the resulting naval battle in the Mediterranean would undoubtedly favor the Allies, because they have the greater quantity of ships as well as the greater quality. Mussolini has everything to lose and not very much to gain. I doubt if he will enter the war in any event without at the same time Germany strikes into the Balkans and Mussolini from Albania strikes into Greece towards Salonika and strikes also into Yugoslavia, where he can get food and other supplies. I felt all along that Mussolini would regard his own self-interest, and that his own self-interest and that of Italy required him to stay out of the war. But there have been rumors, as are pretty well known, that Mussolini has some sort of heart disease and thinks that he will not live long. Mussolini regards himself as a Caesar. Mussolini wants to take part in great events before he dies, and it may well be that with that in mind, he will take a desperate chance and engage the Mediterraneans and bring the Balkans into the war. In that event, undoubtedly, Turkey, as she is bound by treaty to do, will come in the war on the side of the Allies, and the war will extend to the entire Balkan and Mediterranean area. At the same time, that is so much against the self-interest of Italy, probably so little approved of by the king and the ruling family in Italy and by many of the thoughtful citizens, that it may or may not take place. The next week or two may tell whether it will take place promptly or not, and then afterwards there will be the period of waiting and the threat always that it might take place. No, because the ship was sunk off the coast of Norway. It has always been naval theory that naval vessels would have difficulty in coastal operations against coastal positions, even before the plane came in. The difficulty existed as against coastal fortifications. And where they're operating close into the coast and close to the bases of the airplanes, it's entirely possible for planes to damage and sink ships. At the same time, the capital ship continues to perform its function by maintaining the control of the sea. And the very existence of the British battleships has enabled Britain and France to control the seas of the world and sweep all German commerce off from the seas, and the British Navy will continue to do that, in my opinion, throughout this war.